Scoff and Quaff Show with Jules Serkin on Channel Radio.
And a warm good morning to you, listener. We're here in, if you don't know Kent and you're listening from a very cold Maryland, we actually have snow this morning. And I'd like to tell everybody off, all the councils, for not gritting the roads, because they said they were. I couldn't see any grit on my way in. Fabulous show for you, listener. We have a party, practically. I was feeling a little bit, what's all this dry January? I don't agree. I certainly don't agree with detoxing in January. It's all wrong. We need comfort, don't we, Harry?
We certainly do, Jules.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it might be all right for Gwyneth, because she's, you know, in LA or somewhere, roller skating up the boulevard. But detoxing in January?
Definitely not.
I think we need comfort food, healthy, but nice, yes. Warm bowls
exactly.
Of soup,
yes,
pearl
exactly.
Barley.
Yeah, I had a bean stew last night.
Oh, I do love a bean stew.
Yep.
What were the beans?
There were cannellini, chickpea, butter bean, and I can't remember the other one.
Mm.
But some local sausages on top.
And what were the sausages, may I ask? Were they a spotted...
They were a Kentish hop sausage.
Fabulous. I haven't heard of those.
No, they were very nice. They're a local one to me.
Okay.
Made especially for us.
And do you put a little bit of spice in there?
I had some chorizo in the stew as well. So.
And that wasn't local Kentish, was it?
No, that was from deepest Spain.
Was that from your friend Damien?
No. This was a Sainsbury's special.
Okay. You are allowed occasionally to go into a big supermarket. We'll let you off.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, let me just introduce my guest. It's 20th of Jan, show 75, I believe. Could be 76, I lose track. We have on my right, opposite me, flanking. There's a lot of testosterone in the studio. Paul Andrews has just minced in as well, snake hips. He'll be on at 1 p.m. You'll hear more from him on the Business Bunker with lots of announcements, he tells me. So we have the fabulous Russell Burton Lawrence, the not so good half of Laura Burton Lawrence. You know, he's sort of flanking up in the rear, aren't you, Russell?
Hello, Jules.
Good morning. Yeah. And he was here before me, practically.
I was.
On his skis.
I thought he brought you in, Jules.
No, he's taking me home. I can drive here. I am sober in the morning. But after wine tasting, he's driving me home. So Russell Burton Lawrence, you can find him on at Barrister Broker and www.thebarristerbroker.com. Check him out. He's also on LinkedIn and Facebook and everything else. But do check him out. Very exciting. And you will hear him, all about him, on the Business Bunker. And he's going to assist me. He's my assistant today. With reading out some of your tweets. So tweet us at scoffquaff at UK Food Show. Then we have Mike Best, who is flanking him with the wine. So he's everybody's best friend.
Morning, Jules.
Morning. And on the Twitter, it's at WeSetUK, WSETUK. And can you give me a shout for your website, please?
Yes, the website is WSETglobal.com.
Brilliant. And Mike is going to tell us all about how he can educate you with wine, but also corporate do's as well. Very, very interesting. So we're going to be, tell us what we're going to be doing this morning. I have no idea,
yes.
Just drinking.
So talking about dry January, the WSET, as we are big advocates of social responsibility.
Yes.
And one way of doing that is through appreciation, through knowledge, through understanding what it is that you're doing. So we're going to do an example of something that you would do on a level one WSET course with the food and wine matching, a little snippet of that to understand how the fundamentals of wine and food work together.
Very exciting. And you've got sort of sweet and savoury, as you were telling me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got three food groups here today. It's lemon for acidity, salt for salt, and marshmallows for sweet. And I've gone for very basic food groups so that people can then make their own decisions.
Brilliant. And then just in case I did get hungry, I was a bit concerned that your nibbles wouldn't be up to as much of a portion as I would like.
Absolutely.
We have...
Have you seen his nibbles?
That's a bit personal. I'll look later. Oh, nibbles, sorry.
I did say nibbles, Jules.
we've got the fabulous Dan Kelly, who was on our show in the sort of autumn, I believe. The autumn of my life, anyway.
Yes, yes.
From at Kent Cookery School on the Twitter, and let's say the worst half of Lucy, who's always at the helm and keeping everything going, isn't she, Dan?
Yes, most definitely. I just came here to drink some wine and eat some food, really.
Exactly.
But
you've brought in one of your smorgasbords.
Yes, well, I thought, you know, you can't... It's not really a party if you don't bring the food. So we got the wine, so I thought I'd bring some nibbles along at the same time.
It's a fantastic party. Look, dying to see what you've got, because you've bought those lovely little Mediterranean peppers that I loved last time.
Yeah, yeah, I've done them slightly differently this time. You know, we always have to do something different at the school. So.
And also what excited me was the Scotch eggs, which are gluten-free.
Yeah, yeah, we thought, well, again, like you were saying about comfort food, you know, you don't want to eat everything healthy in January. So.
No.
Yeah, so we've got, we made some gluten-free Scotch eggs. We've also got some little stuffed baby peppers, some roasted courgettes as well, stuffed with feta cheese, and we've got some smoked salmon, cream cheese pinwheels and things. So,
oh, fantastic. They look gorgeous. Thank you very much. And then and tell me where your cookery school is based.
So the cookery school is based just outside of Ashford, near the village of Mersham.
And a little shout for your website.
So the website is www.kentcookeryschool.co.uk.
Fabulous. And loads of classes going on. I know lovely at Food at One, Emily Curzon Baker is teaching gluten-free there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that today?
Yes, that's today. She's running. Wow. She's doing the gluten-free class.
I saw she's doing some Scotch eggs too, so hopefully she'll save me one as well, just to, you know, keep. And then, of course, we have the incognito Mr. Harry Covert, who runs fine dining clubs and fine dining experiences at secret locations, listener. And I have been to one and had a great time. And, of course, that's where
about
I discovered...
time you came to another one, Jules.
I know. Please invite me on Friday. Friday's my night out. Saturday's right, my okay. night in right, okay. by the log burner, you know, with a couple of bottles or something.
He who must be obeyed.
And my new husband.
Oh, the new husband, sorry.
Yes, who's writing his book. You can follow him at Frontier Funds if you're into... the next frontier market. So if you're looking at Sri Lanka, Burma, which is now Myanmar, Saudi Arabia, Cairo, Nigeria, most of Africa, Romania as well. Some very interesting countries. If you're into investments and also if you're in the business of IT and tech, these are the places that you could be making money in. So it's at Frontier Funds, www.frontierfunds.org.
Well-plugged.
I know.
Well-plugged.
I know. I'm hoping I can retire, Harry. And just come to your
me
dinners.
Too, me too.
And go to Dan's cookery school and taste, you know, my best wine.
Good.
And frolic with the barrister, broker and Laura, of course.
Of course.
There we are. We've gone down the bad route now. It's already a threesome.
I'm not answering that one.
Harry.
Yes.
What's been going on in your neck of the woods? The last time we were going to go to the chocolate festival and I cried off because it was a Sunday.
You did. Yeah, I went to the chocolate festival. I hooked up with Damien from Damien Allsop Chocolates. And he was over from Spain, where he now is producing chocolates. And I will be seeing him in a couple of weeks' time, actually, because I'm on my way out there for a short break. So,
you have quite a lot of short breaks, I've noticed.
No, I don't. I haven't been away since October last year.
Oh,
so.
I'm not sure. I think you might have popped off somewhere in January.
No,
didn't you go to France?
New
Year.
A day trip.
There you
a
are.
Day trip before
I rest
Christmas.
My case. I
a
rest my case.
A day trip before Christmas. A shopping trip. That was
yeah,
all it was.
You see? Yeah. A little bit of that. I watch you like a hawk.
Yeah.
Right.
That's part of the menopause, is it?
No. Let's not talk that. Otherwise, we mention other things, I've warned you.
Yes. Prostate's fine.
So how was the chocolate festival?
It was good. It was an interesting. It was held at the Business Design Centre, which I think was the first time they'd had it indoors for a few years. Yeah, I think Paul Andrews is just laughing in the
He's
background.
He's on a delay.
Oh,
he's on
he?
A delay.
Oh, right,
snake
okay.
hips.
Oh, right.
I will get you back, Paul Andrews, on the Business Bunker, and I will be nine sheets the wind probably anyway.
Yeah, it was first time it was indoors, so it was a bit different from what I'd not been to one before, so it was a bit of a new one. But it was it was interesting. It was interesting.
I discovered, I don't know whether you were listening to the show a while ago, Julian with Kent Dark Chocolate, and I really, really like, because we've had some brilliant chocolate people on here. We've had Ali Harold with her raw chocolate, which I love. In fact, if Ted Bassett Myers, the personal trainer, isn't listening, mm-hmm. hopefully he's not, I had some raw chocolate last night covered with Brazil nuts. And they were good because the raw chocolate's not sweet.
Yeah.
And you just get that kick.
My stepson is actually doing the paleo diet at the moment. Mm. And so that's one of the reasons why we had a bean stew last night.
Yeah.
And he's looking a lot healthier for it. I mean, he suffers from skin complaints, yeah. etc.
So is that eczema or psoriasis?
Eczema.
By the scratching I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, thought he could have fleas. I wasn't sure.
but he's feeling a lot healthier because of being on the paleo diet. And but he was also saying that he can only eat a little piece of dark chocolate. And we actually had a couple of Damien's chocolates last night, and they were.
But it's good chocolate.
It's stunning.
High quality.
I had one that I hadn't tasted before, which was his saltwater ganache, which is just unbelievable, unbelievable chocolate. Maybe seawater.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes... I remember that made all the difference when mm-hmm. I was talking to Damien when he was on the show. Mm-hmm. That, you know, his water makes a difference, as Eudistra's beer.
Yes.
Who was
yes.
on the show last week.
Yep. Making beer with him yesterday.
Were you?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell you about it.
Any samples?
No. It's fermenting. Christ.
Of course.
It doesn't ferment in a day.
I've got some that Eudistra very kindly gave me. I'm going to pop it. Yeah, I thought I had to put it in my bath and things, but he says I don't.
No.
It sounds quite civilised. A quick mention to the sponsors. We have a new sponsor who's coming on the show. She wanted to come on, but we were booked up. But she is coming on in February. And it's at Jo Banks, Banks, 15. And she does the Pampered Chef parties. And I actually went to a Pampered Chef party and bought some really lovely, beautiful pizza. Now, you might know about this, Dan, but a beautiful pizza sort of slab that you put your pizza on. It makes it crisp.
Like pizza stone.
Yeah, thank you. That was the word I wanted, not slab. I bought one of those. And it was very, very good from the Pampered Chef. And I also bought some beautiful bamboo spoons, which I love. I'm very fond of. So I'm looking forward to hearing from Jo Banks. And we're also sponsored from Godmer Shim Game, the lovely Phil Miles, who was coming in today, but he was otherwise engaged. So he'll be coming on later on. We're going to go over to the fabulous Barrister Broker and put him through his paces. First of all, I know that Shibbham Market is on tomorrow. Shibbham. It's written Shipbourne, but it's pronounced Shibbham. What else have you got?
Home of your favourite friend, Michel Roux.
My one weakness.
Junior.
Do you know, I tweeted that he was my one weakness and he answered me and I fell in a swoon on the floor. Barrister Broker. Who's on the Twitter? Take that mic, darling.
Jules, on the Twitter at the moment, we've got Kent Farmers Markets.
Lovely boys.
Love Chilies, Wine Community, Elm Court Farmer Market, The Silver Squirrel. Ken Heron from last week, business banker.
He is a mover and a shaker.
He certainly is.
He's over in Florida.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Picking oranges.
Indeed. From his neighbour's garden, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, because he hasn't got his own.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's only got a lemon tree.
Yeah. More tweets from Clive's Pies and Sally Laker at the moment.
Oh,
more
Clive's
to come
Pies.
In. Yeah,
I love them. Yeah. I had one last night. Don't tell Ted Bassett Myers.
What if he's listening?
Well, he'll gloss over it.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Lots going on the Twitter.
Lots going on. More to report soon.
Good. And you can tweet in at scoffquaff. And we're playing a song because we've got so much testosterone. While we get Mike Best pouring some wine and getting ready, we're going to play something for the boys, I think. And it's a little bit of Black Betty. It's very loud.
Oh, Black Betty, bam, bam, whoa, steady gets me high. Bam a lamb, you know that's no lie. Bam a lamb, she's so rock steady. Bam a lamb, and she's always ready. Bam a lamb, whoa, back Betty. Bam a lamb, whoa, back Betty. Bam a lamb. Get it.
Oh, and that was a very, very sudden ending. And there I was tweeting. I'm very sorry about that. Okay, so we've got loads and loads of tweets coming in. So very quickly, just do you want me to come over to you, Russell? Do you want to get them off your chest?
Get what off my chest?
All these tweets coming in.
No, I was just seeing there were a lot of retweets. I'm trying to see something that I might be able to comment from.
Well, okay. Apparently, Russell, your wife says you love her pampered chef. He uses all my gadgets.
I do. I think that pampered chef. Until I met Laura, I'd never come across the pampered chef. And some of the gadgets that they come up with are just amazing. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen playing with those gadgets.
I get a little bit worried when men talk about playing with gadgets, I must say. We're going to come over to Mike Best and have some decorum. First of all, quick hello to take that mic. Mike.
I've got
M-I-C, M-I-K-E. I want to say a quick hello to Nurse Liz Gilson, who's listening from Maryland. She sets her alarm every morning, listener, and tunes in from America. That's hello to you. And she says, oh, she's with her gentleman, her one weakness. Yes, how did you guess? And she's brewing coffee. Good morning. And also a big hello to Sally for Cakes. Now, Sally for Cakes, as you know, did my wedding cake and my new husband's banjo cake, which was amazing. You need to look at her cakes because they are works of art if you are thinking of having a cake. And my my big son is putting on a very big event on the 31st of January, and it's in Canterbury. It starts at 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. Hotshot DJs, Ibiza DJs. I think Harry and I might be tucked up, not together, I hasten to add. But if you're interested, it's at @on1_promotions. If you're into the DJ scene, the Ibiza vibe, go there. Very, very great, great thing, and lots of celebrities. But Sally for Cakes did their cakes for their promotion. So have a look at Sally for Cakes. Now, Mike Best, tell us about what you're up to and what you've just poured out. And may I please have some?
Yes, absolutely. Well, we'll get into that in just 1 second.
Yes.
First thing for me to say is that thanks very much for letting me come on. And it's great to come and talk about what is really my favourite subject to talk about, which is all about wine and food and wine matching and helping people appreciate things a little bit more. The very first thing we're going to do quickly is try one of these. This is a bitter strip. So I'm just going to pass them round the rest of the chaps here.
And Harry, can I put you in touch, in charge of taking some pictures? Have you got space on your phone?
I'll try.
I'm having a bitter strip. Ooh, what is this? So it's a little bit of sort of.
So it's a little bit of paper.
Or?
Yeah, it's a little bit, little piece of paper. So if you just, we're just going to put it on our tongue and see.
I just want to ask my chefs: have you ever done anything like this before? Bitter strips and things.
Bitter strips, no.
There, you see.
I've had many things in my mouth.
Yes, I can tell.
So it will either taste bitter or tasteless, depending on your genes.
And is it all over, or do you have to go on one end of this bitter strip?
Just as long as some of it gets in there.
That wasn't very nice.
So, yes. Don't be surprised if you don't get anything.
No, I'm not getting.
I didn't get anything.
No,
actually.
I'm not either, Russell. I'm not getting it. Does this mean we're just sweet?
So if you can't taste anything, it means you're.
Russell's being very suggestive with this. I can't look at him. I must stare frontwards.
If you can't taste anything, it means you're not sensitive to bitterness, which tends to mean that you therefore prefer stronger flavours. And if you are sensitive to bitterness, you need more flavours to complement one another rather than contrast.
Mm.
So it gives you some indication onto styles of wine and food matching that you would like. So that's enough. That's a bit of work over. Now we can get into some wine.
Yeah, I didn't get any bitter at all.
Yeah, no, that
I
was
a slight bit of bitterness.
That was awful. It was horrible.
And you got it, did you? Yeah. You got the bitterness.
Yeah, big,
and Harry?
Big crunch.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting, because I would have thought that you, being, especially being a more mature chef, you know, I can understand.
We're getting on to that.
I'm getting my own
menopause
back.
Menopause now.
Yeah, I'm getting my own back. But I can understand perhaps Dan Kennedy being a young thing. But
we've established that one already today, Jules.
I'm not that young.
Are you younger than me, Harry, or older? I think you must be older.
I'm not saying a word.
No, maybe younger, I don't know.
The interesting thing about the bitter strips is that they don't
carry on, Mike.
They don't change over time. They don't.
Oh, so we'll never.
So if you can't taste it now, you'll never will be able to. And really? If you can, you'll always be able to taste it, unless something bizarre happens, you know, to your palate. So, yeah, it's a hereditary thing. You can't teach yourself to taste it.
So if you went on a January detox, it wouldn't change.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. So we're going to get into the first wine here, and this is a Muscadet. So Muscadet is from northern France. It's from a cool climate, and it's a reason why I've chosen this wine is because it's got really good acidity. That's the sensation at the side of your mouth, that you can feel that sort of mouth-watering sensation. So what I want everyone to do is to first of all give it a good smell.
And you know, when I smell immediately, my taste buds start watering.
Absolutely,
is that normal?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's especially with that nice fruity aroma, you know, you're going to taste something nice. So once we're giving it a good smell, then we're going to give it a taste and to kind of move it around our mouth, a little bit like mouthwash, but not quite so aggressive.
Because I could taste bitter before, I'm tasting this differently now.
I think yes, it's a little bit of a problem sometimes with those bitter strips, is that for people who are sensitive to it, the flavour does linger a little bit. Fortunately, I can't taste them all, so I don't know what that's like. But what you do get is the sensation of acidity at the side of the mouth. So what I'm going to do now is pass around some lemon.
Fantastic.
And with this, the reason we've got the lemon is for the acidity. So we're going to see what happens.
That's what I meant about Mike's nibbles. Had you seen what he bought for nibbles?
N-I-B-B.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just lemon, salt, and a marshmallow.
That's what worried me.
Yeah,
I knew I'd be flat on my back for the next show at 1 p.m. So what am I doing with this? Pop this in my mouth?
Yep. So we're just going to try some of the lemon juice and get it around your palate.
Are we allowed to say suck on the road? I don't know. Let's have a suck of the lemon.
As long as you spit it out afterwards, dear.
Do you know, I start every morning. That was risque. Every morning I start with hot water and lemon. I love it. I actually prefer it to anything, not because of detoxing. It's just, once you've got used to it, it's such a clean drink.
And once you've had the lemon, now try the white wine again and see if it tastes different.
He's good, this Mike, isn't he? We need a clink.
Thank you. Yeah, oddly enough, now it tastes that bit sweeter than it did the first time I tried it.
This is Dan.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's and that's what happens. So if you have a if you have acidity, something that's acidic with a white wine or with any wine, it will make it taste softer and fruitier. So
it does. Yeah. I might be completely wrong, because I'm not a wine. I do like wine, but I'm not an expert. And I don't know much about it apart from what I like. When I first tasted it, I was getting almost a little bit of grapefruity.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now I'm getting a peachier.
Yeah, absolutely. It completely changes it. So you can. So that's where it comes into personal preference. Somebody might like it before, where it was a bit sharper, a bit more acidic, and then somebody else might like it that if it was a bit softer and a bit fruitier. So that's where the food and wine matching comes in, and understanding how these fundamentals of food, like acidity, change flavours, because you can have one wine and have a completely different experience with it.
Just stopping you there, Mike, what kind of people are coming on your courses?
So we get all sorts of people. The WSET was originally set up to provide courses for the wine trade, but for around the last 20-25 years, we've been doing courses for the general public as well. So we get all sorts of people. We get interested people from who want to learn more about the amazing world of wine and spirits. We get catering students. We get people in hospitality world. And obviously, we still get the backbone of the wine trade as well. So all sorts of people, and the courses really can work for whoever you are. And we have four different levels, so you can learn a little bit and decide if you want to go on, or say that's enough for me. So it's a really a broad church.
Very topical.
We've just had a tweet from Paul Laurie at Essex Wineman, and he says he's an assistant manager at the Pipe of Port. He's a wine merchant and dining rooms. He spelt them with double N, dining rooms. I'm so bitchy sometimes, I can't help it. Wine writer for the Glass of Bubbly, and we set certified. And he says, life's too short to drink bad wine. So we'll connect with him afterwards. But it's essexwineman.co.uk. Morning to you. Back to you, Mike.
Okay, so now what we're going to do is try our red wine.
Another one.
Lovely. I know, I told you.
Should we be keeping to your nibbles and then having the boys' nibbles after?
Yes.
Keep to the, yeah, okay. Yeah,
because we can...
not that I'm hungry or anything.
No, it's the reason why it's important is because about fundamentals of flavour, really.
Mm-hmm. You just want too much in your mouth at once.
Well, wow, how rude. Harry only comes on the show to heckle me. Do you find?
Of course.
Wait till I come to your dining room. There'll be trouble.
This is a Barbaresco. It's from Northern Italy, and it's a it's high acidic red wine. It's also got a fair amount of tannin in it as well. So if you guys just want to give it a taste.
So we taste first. And what do we smell first? Mm-hmm. It smells. Oh, that smells beautifully fresh and gorgeous.
It's kind of red fruits, quite aromatic.
It smells quite spicy as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Quite a light wine, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you're right.
This is actually an odd sort of an odd wine in the sense that it's got a light colour to it, but it's actually reasonably full bodied. It's made out of the Nebbiolo grape, which is thin skinned but produces these quite tannic, quite tough wines sometimes in their youth. So what we're going to do now is try it with some marshmallow.
I'm feeling strangely lightheaded. How I work this equipment.
You're supposed to spit it out, Jules.
Spit it? Do you know, I just couldn't. That would be like being bulimic, wouldn't it? Really. So this is with a marshmallow. Pink or white, does it matter? Do you know, we should have had marshmallow...
Heaven.
Yes, on. Thank you, Dan. Good job.
I really like them. They're very good people. And yeah. The marshmallows are amazing as
I know.
Well.
Have you seen the tower they do?
Yeah.
For weddings.
Yeah. We're hopefully going to join forces and try and create a new marshmallow cake, a new and improved version.
Well, so. Can you be, as we now know each other, can I give you a job? I've given Russell one, I've given Harry one. Can you be in charge of reminding me to put her in touch with Mike?
Most definitely.
For these tasters. Mike,
fantastic.
Tell us about this marshmallow. So now, listen, we're eating a marshmallow with our red wine. So tell us what happens now.
So this is an example of where it really doesn't work. Because if you have something that is sweet food, it makes the wine seem less sweet.
Oh yeah.
So if you have, say, a creme brulee with a dessert wine, it really works because you might find that sweet wine too sweet by itself. But because the creme brulee makes it less sweet, it works together. So now you're finding this wine really tough, dry, and less fruity. So what we're going to do now is try some salt and hopefully to see if that will bring the fruitiness back into the wine.
I say, you're enjoying this, Russell.
I am. I mean, the taste I'm getting with that marshmallow is very chalky, actually. Mm.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about how much I'm drinking so early on my show.
Is this because you're quaffing as opposed to
yes.
sipping?
So a little handful of these salt crystals
yep.
in my mouth?
Yep.
I don't know why
I'm refraining, Jules. I'm refraining.
Okay.
It's quite bizarre, isn't it?
It is unusual, I agree with that, yes.
And so, now swig?
Now try the wine again, yeah.
Okay, listen, we're just having a little swig. Hang on.
I'll
just top myself up, darling, with the red. It's very nice. What was the red called?
It's Barbaresco from Northern Italy.
Yeah, very nice. I feel like I'm there now.
So, hopefully, I'll let the others come in on this as well. Actually, what do we think with the salt?
Yeah, that's completely... Sorry, tell me, Dan.
Yeah, no, it does most definitely. You can see that from eating the marshmallow and then trying the red wine, it's very much quite bitter.
Yeah.
But then when you try it with the salt, very much opposite direction, it goes quite sweet as well. So
yeah.
it works really well.
So that's really
it's made me very thirsty, that salt.
Yes,
it's topped me up.
Do you have a bit more? Yeah, that's the fundamentals, really, insight into the fundamentals of food and wine matching. Obviously, you wouldn't just go and eat a piece of lemon or eat just one marshmallow or eat a little bit of salt on its own. It's really, the reason we give people this information is so that they can then make their own decisions. And that's absolutely crucial. It's through like that through the whole wine courses. So whether you're doing our levels one to four, all the information we give you helps people come to their own decisions rather than saying, this is a nice wine, or have the Chablis with the salmon. Because whilst that might be useful once, it doesn't help you in the long run. And so what we're trying to do is give people information to make their own decisions, really.
I've just had a little tweet from my co-presenter, John Wumbill, who's on a sabbatical at the moment. And he says, where did Jules Serkin think she should put the salt? Yes, well, you know, he knows me so well. This is fascinating. Harry, have you...
Yes, Jules.
Tell me what you're finding here.
Yeah, no, I mean... I quite agree with Mike. I mean,
I do want a Scotch egg already, though. Yeah.
I think when you're tasting wine, some people like particular styles of wine. I think probably back in the 70s, Mike would agree with me that people's tastes were much more for sweeter wines, and particularly the Germanic, the Rieslings, and the Hocks that were very popular.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't mention Blue Nun, please.
Well, yeah, but they got
that's
people drinking wine.
Yeah,
that's what people started drinking. I mean, as
I
got
was
older,
eight at the time.
As I've got older, I love sweet wines, and particularly dessert wines. And it was quite interesting drinking that red. There are some lovely sweet red wines that I just love, particularly with chocolate.
Mm. Yeah.
As you know, I have a house in the south of France,
Inviting me? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
And I particularly love a wine called Mori from the village of Mori that goes beautiful with chocolate. And there's a particular producer I love called Massamiel, and they produce some stunning wines. One of which they actually mature for a year in a demijohn in the sunlight, outdoors. Mm. Just a big glass demijohn with a tin can over the top of it. Oh. And they do a fermentation like that for a year.
Mike.
Sounds fascinating. It's I think it's brilliant. And the only thing that you ever really understand when you get into wine and spirits is how much you don't know. The more you get into it, the more you enjoy it.
Totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree. You're always learning.
I'd like to... I'd welcome the chance to go over to France with you and learn, Harry.
Anytime, Jules.
We could have a little bit of camembert, couldn't we?
I did invite you when I went to Damien's restaurant opening. You could have come then, you know.
Did you?
I did.
Flew by me. Yes, I will come, definitely, to the next one. Because I've got a little house in Moriah, you see, so we could follow on. Yeah. We could take our spouses.
Well, yeah.
Russell could come with Laura.
With his gadgets.
We'd take Mike and we'd invite Dan for the nibbles. Mike, back to you. So tell us about your corporate events that you do. How does that work?
So we run corporate events basically for anybody who's interested. We have a network of approved programme providers throughout the country. And so there's around 100-150 approved program providers throughout the UK, and these are people who you can get in touch with to run corporate hospitality events as well for wine tasting evenings and so on. So yeah, that's something. If you get in touch with us and you're interested in a wine tasting, then we can put you in touch with the right people, and then obviously as well we can run our wine courses for whoever it is who want to sign up. Our first course, a level one course, is just a 1 day course, so if you've got 1 day free, you can come and be on the road to learning more about wine and enjoying it more.
Because the main school's in Bermondsey Street in London, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Our flagship school is in Bermondsey in London.
Bermondsey's so hip now.
Oh yeah,
I remember my new husband when I first met him, which was 21 years ago.
So he's that new, eh?
Yeah. he lived in some hovel in Bermondsey, as it was then. It was just absolute hovel. And wow.
I find it rather poignant. At one end of Bermondsey Street, there's the wine school. At the other end, there's a hotel called the Bermondsey Square Hotel that's just actually gone to Sharia law.
I read about that.
Yeah.
No drink, no pork, no sausages.
I've just done that plug for a friend of mine who owns the hotel. So yeah.
Really? What, yeah. Sheikh? Sheikh?
No. Well, Sheikh who operates Bassin. It? No, it's a company called Bespoke Hotels.
Well, Sheikh Mohammed and I are like this, I tell you. Mike, I I'm fascinated. I think I'll play another little tune. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And then how many more wines have we got?
That's it for the wine. So what we could do...
quite light-headed.
what we can do is we can revisit them with some actual food. So the Scotch eggs and peppers and what we think.
I could happily drink if I wasn't just doing all this apparatus. I've had about half a bottle. Let's play a little bit of Jocelyn Brown and have a bit of a disco, I think.
My horse, and I can't let you go. You are the one who, makes me feel so real. Yeah. Oh, what am I supposed to do? Oh, what am I supposed to do, baby? When I'm so hooked up on you, then I realize, that you are somebody else's guy.
Dear, I've got my mouth full of what am I having, Harry?
It's
bruschetta.
It's a bruschetta made with your gluten-free chickpea bread.
Oh, divine!
It's got black olive in it, and then it's a tomato and chili chutney on top of the bread, and then a piece of Black Forest ham.
I do apologise, listener. I thought I had another minute of Jocelyn Brown, but no, it's a much shorter song than it used to be. We're going to go over while I munch my fabulous bruschetta from Mr. Harry Covert. I do urge you to... What's your website, Harry?
www.harry, H-A-R-I, Covert, C-O-V-E-R-T,
Clive's.com. Just stop clinking the bottles,
I'm
woman.
Just topping up, darling, because
you don't need topping up.
Do you know the flavour of that is I love the little.
It was just I had some black olive tapenade in the fridge, so I just shoved that in it and it just made a bit of a difference.
Now, but before we go back to Mike, I'm going to have a little top up while we go over to Dan, who's going to tell us what you brought in today and tell us a little bit about your school.
Right, so, sorry, I'm just finishing off the crumbs.
They're gorgeous, aren't they? What have you just been eating?
I had one of Harry's little bits of toast with the, was it Iberico ham?
No, it's a Black Forest.
Black Forest.
But it's not just toast, is it? It's bruschetta.
They're really good. Actually, go quite nice with the red wine.
Could someone pass me a pepper? One of those Mediterranean peppers. And Dan, what are you eating?
Yeah, so I'll just quickly run through the things that we made. Because obviously, these are all gluten-free as well. So we made some Scotch eggs. And to make them gluten-free, what we did was we made the sausage meat ourselves. Don't have to, you can buy some really good gluten-free sausages these days, but we take some pork mince and we mix it with about 10% cornmeal, and then we spice it with some black pepper, some mace and some nutmeg, and a good pinch of salt, good pinch of seasoning, because whenever you make a sausage you need traditionally it was rusk, which would hold on to the moisture in the sausage, which is what makes it a sausage.
Yeah, they bung rusk and everything, don't they?
Yeah, because if it's 100% sausage meat, it just becomes mince and it just goes really dry. So you need something in there to hold on to the moisture. And then normal free-range egg. And then on the outside, rather than breadcrumbs, we've got a mixture of finely ground oats and, again, a bit more cornmeal. So you get that nice crunch on the outside.
It's a lovely crunch. And also, though, you know, often with gluten-free, the food that you buy that's gluten-free is often very sweet, very processed, very, you know, they put stuff in. But you're, you know, homemade. And what I love is that you always bring me savouries. I get bored with, you know, you can always find a gluten-free chocolate cake when you're out.
Yeah.
But you can never find anything savoury.
Yeah, well, I think the other people, for just staying on the gluten-free subject, is for those people that eat that want to be gluten-free, there's also a certain element of, you know, they don't want to be completely healthy all the time and just eat nuts and seeds and fruit and vegetables. They want that sense of luxury as well, you know, the sense of comfort,
the things you miss.
Exactly. So it's just using good substitutes to make a more familiar product. So
a sausage roll, I mean, my mum, I forced her, she's 84, I bought some, that you can get some very good gluten-free pastry now, frozen, from Play. I know it's not what you do, but, and of course we've got gluten-free bakey, they're coming on in March. Deborah Thackeray, they do pastry courses and all sorts. I think you met her, didn't you?
Or you listened
to the show anyway, sure. You must have done. But she makes pastry and does pastry courses, but I bought some very good gluten-free pastry, and my mum is, she's 84, she's the queen of pastry. As that generation often was, and she said it was really good, you know, good short crust. And she made some. We went to my local butcher's. That's Harry hacking up on the the oatmeal there. My local butcher's, which is Sermons in Tankerton, they do great gluten-free sausage meat, a pound, huge bit like that. And I gave it to my mum, and she did these sausage rolls for my son, who's at uni. And he took them back, and they are divine. Yeah. And she puts a little bit of onion in and plays about.
Yeah, that's it. And it's, you know, just trying different products. But, we found a call recently. You know, we've been getting more and more of a call for gluten-free cookery courses. So in the coming year, we'll be adding easy gluten-free entertaining as well. So for those that want to cook really, really good food, but, you know, without the gluten.
Yeah. Well, when you've got a decent chef, I mean, someone like Harry, who just rustles up my lovely bread for me, made with gram flour, chickpea flour. Harry?
I'm going to start a course that's got all the bad ingredients.
Yeah, we'll all come. okay, I'm going to quickly go over to the fabulous Barrister Broker, who's just going to tell us a little bit more. Let's put some Spanish music on for you. Russ, take that mic.
Yeah, got it, Jules. This is more on Twitter. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
It's not Italian. No, we've got Italian wine.
It's Spanish, isn't it?
Yes.
Liz Gilson, I'm laughing too hard, just popped in my mouth. calm down, Liz, there. We've got John Juan Bill, where do Jules think she should put the salt? There are others coming in from Essex Business Show, Fruit Bowl Media, lots of retweets going on. And I'll give you an update when I've got a few more.
I've got one for you, Jules.
Did I ask you?
Mike Good said,
oh, yes.
He said, back in the 70s, surely you're not old enough, scoff and quaff.
Did I say 70s?
No, I think I did, but I don't know whether he's referring
to me. Oh, well, you are, of course.
I don't know whether he's referring to me or to you, Jules.
I mean, 70s, I wasn't born, darling.
Well, in the WSET, no. You do have to learn about the history of wine as well. It doesn't mean you have to have been there, you just have to know about where we've come from.
And if you were there, you can't
remember.
Very
diplomatic, Mike, very diplomatic.
If you were there in the 70s, you can't remember them anyway. I remember sitting under the table drinking Chivas Regal when I was about 22, and I now cannot have Chivas Regal. It's just the smell of whiskey, just no. Don't you also do spirits, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So spirits is another very important part of what we do. So we run spirits courses too at two different levels, levels one and two spirits. And again, another fascinating world of enjoyment and interest and so many things to learn about. So it says spirit, wine and spirits are very, very important.
Good job we're not on the spirits today, Jules.
Oh, well, I mean, Paul Andrew's going to have a terrible time. I was going to say something.
More than usual.
I'm going back to Barrister Broker, who's being very diligent. I've thrown him in the deal. Did you find anything from the Fat Carrot 11 at all?
Oh, the Fat Carrot 11. Can you come back to me on that
one, maybe,
Jules, please?
I don't know, it depends how much I drink. Yeah. Let's go back to Mike. So if I want to come on one of your courses, which I do, yeah. I'd do the level one, would I?
Yeah.
Even though I'm rather good at it.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is about level one, it used to be called the foundation level, and it's still sometimes colloquially known as that. And the reason why I think that's quite apt, though, is because it is the foundation of learning about wines.
Just topping up. Yeah.
No, absolutely, enjoy it.
You don't mind?
No, absolutely, it's there to be enjoyed, for sure. So yeah, level one is the foundation level to set you up for everything else. And what we don't want is people to come in and do, say you want to jump in at level two or level three and have a bad experience. You know, you want to come in and think that you've got some confidence, you meet some good people, you taste a few wines and learn things about wine that you understand, and but it will also push you a little bit, but not confuse you completely. So that's a really good way to approach it, I think.
How much? We talked about cost.
Yeah,
give us a round up.
A level one course is they're around £150.
Okay.
So that's for a one day course.
And they come away with a certificate,
don't they? Absolutely, yeah. And the important thing for colleges and for education side of things is we are off-call regulated, so it's not a course that we just came up with ourselves and said, right, this is it. It's actually regulated, so you can really trust what it is that we're delivering.
Wow. Now, Harry.
Yes, Jules.
A very important question. Can you ask me who's on next week? Because I've actually been very diligent, and I actually know.
Do you actually know?
Yes.
God.
Which is the first, I think, yeah. in three years.
You knew last week who was on this week.
I know, but nobody asked last week, which upset me. Normally, I get love chilies.
I thought I asked you by Twitter last
Steve,
week.
You might have done. Yeah, I don't know.
So who's on the show next week, Jules?
Good question, Harry. It's actually Steve the Fish, who will be talking about his fresh fish and all the farmers' markets that you can buy his fresh fish, and you can follow him on Fish and Veg Man. Also, Colin Harkness, who is our resident Spanish wine expert, you can find him on 3 W's, colinharknesswine.com, and on the Twitter, he's Colin on Wine. And we also have David Street, who will be telling us about Chaucer Foods, and that's 3 W's.chaucerfreezedried.com, and of course they do the Nothing But range, where they're beautifully freeze-dried healthy snacks. If you are on your January detox, that would help, wouldn't it?
I think Nurse Liz is stalking me, Jules. She's just said, you are the best, love your accent.
Oh, I know, she does. You see, the Americans go wild. If you say sweetie, yes. Let's have a bag of sweeties. They love that, don't they? What else do they like? Oh,
I was watching an American wine show.
It's
called Wine Library TV. It's with an outrageous man from New Jersey called Gary Vaynerchuk. And he had the amazing Jancis Robinson, who is a master of wine and very heavily connected with the WSET, and she said, well, the one thing that I do get a bee in my bonnet about, and he just went wild. He just
bonnet.
A bee in my bonnet. What?
Hey, is that for real?
Yeah. At least it's only in the bonnet. Yeah.
There's some fabulous tweets going on. Oh, Laura Burton Lawrence is listening, and she says, what nice scenery in the studio, especially the dashing barrister broker.
Oh, yes. And she said, fabulous looking meat to me. I don't know what she means by that.
Is that relevant?
Who knows?
We've had Sue Bassett's listening. She says, as a writer's group, this is Wit Word. You need to look at Wit Word, W-H-I-T Word event. 7:15 p.m. at the Horsebridge, Whitstable, with writing tips and advice from guest author Peggy Riley. I know Peggy. I think she makes cakes as well. Unless I'm misunderstanding.
You and your cakes, Jules.
I know. There's also Paul Laurie. He's favouriting our tweet. Did I mention Paul earlier? Was he one of your WESET people? I think he might have been, Dan.
Yes.
And then Essex Business Show, hello to you. Who else? Claire is getting involved. Now, who is this Claire? She's under reconstruction. Strong supporter of local food and business. Mum of two. Owner of Fraggle the dog. Enjoying the Kentish way of life. I will follow you. She's tweeting. Now, back to Mike. We're rounding up. We've got 10 minutes of the show left. Not just more. You can keep tweeting at ScoffQuaff. So, Mike, come back to you. Tell us a bit more. Where were we?
We were talking about how you can do the WSET courses.
I love him. He's never lost for words.
The thing that, just to say as well, I think that's really important is that the WSET is how I got into wine, because I was working in a gastro pub and wanted to learn a bit more about it. So I decided to look up courses, and I googled wine courses in York and found the WSET. So that's how I came into working in the amazing world of wine and spirits. But it's a great chance for people to learn more, and wherever you are in the country.
I love it when Mike talks. I can just top up. Do you find that, Harry?
Wherever you are in the country.
I'm positively Harry down there.
You can do a WSET course. We've got program providers all over the country, and we are global as well. So I think we are in 65 countries now. So we have program providers all over the world. So wherever you are, please look us up. If you're interested in learning more about wine and spirits, then give us a shout.
Well, we certainly will. And we love what you do. And I've learned a lot. I'm going to go over to Barrister Broker, who's going to tell us a little roundup. Maybe he's found fat carrots.
I have found fat carrots.
He's got rather a dulcet voice, isn't he, Barrister Broker?
Have I? Tweets coming out of there.
I find you're better after a couple of glasses of wine.
I am.
You came in, I thought you were very handsome. Now, I think you're even more handsome.
Oh, I'm loosening up. Look out. The fat carrot is talking about the Shibbon Market on Thursdays. Have you been to that one, Julie?
I have. Well, that's where I met my lovely Michelle Rue. Yeah. Rue and I...
Junior.
Yeah. I'll take anyone, really. But he was a divine. And if you look at the photo of me and him, he loves me, darling. He's very close, and he's given me a lot of eye contact. Mm. Look at the body language in that picture. Mm. I think I'm in for a chance, don't you, Harry?
I think you could be.
Yes. I couldn't possibly comment.
Who else?
What else is going on? We've got a lot of retweets.
What did the fat carrot say? Did she say anything?
She hasn't actually said anything.
No, she's probably gone to bed.
No,
or something.
No, well, maybe.
You have
maybe.
To scroll back.
She's underground.
Yeah,
she's
okay.
Underground.
Well, I'm scrolling.
Scroll back
I'm
to her
scrolling,
roots. Scrolling, those carroty roots.
Roots. Yeah. Nothing recent.
Well, that's a shock to me. But sometimes she does go off the rails. Harry.
Can I mention
Harry's
a few things coming up on my, side, please?
Gosh,
Jules?
Yes, it's awful. I'll have a top up while you...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, carry on.
I've got quite a bit coming up, in particular for charity. I'm doing a big dinner in end of March, on the 26th of March.
Is it a dinning evening?
A dinning evening, yeah. But it's in Essex, believe it or not.
Oh, right. I was born there,
It's at Redbridge College. It's called Take Five Cooks Plus One. I'm the plus one. But basically, we're doing a dinner for charity, for two local charities. And it is five different chefs. We have the head chef. Five head chefs, one of which is a guy called Gary Lee from The Ivy in London.
Oh, wow, The Ivy.
Jack Boast from one of the Galvin's restaurants, Café Avant.
Fabulous.
The pastry chef from the Towel Booth.
Mike's tucking into... what are you tucking into, Mike?
Just a bit of lemon.
Oh, he's gone on to the lemon. He's detoxing. Carry on.
And then also a chef by the name of Paul Blackman and another guy. I'm trying to remember their names now because I haven't met them yet. So, but it's a charity dinner in the college. There is an auction site that if you want to, you can go and bid... to have the chef's table, which is actually in the kitchen.
So there's
six places in the kitchen. There is an auction site on auctionofpromises.com.
That sounds fantastic.
So if you just take five chefs on that website, you'll come to that page and you can make a bid for dinner in the kitchen. I'm also doing a dinner with Mr. Moodley.
Oh, I love him. Yeah. His beer.
We're doing a brewing dinner in March. At my normal venue, which is going to be quite interesting, because every couple will take home a beer kit with them. I'm doing a beer. I've just brewed beer yesterday with him, and then
how much have you actually drunk this?
Yes, I know that's a bit.
We can barely talk, Harry.
Yeah, I knew I should have spat it out. But yeah, effectively, we're brewing the beer at the moment that we're going to use in the dinner. So that's the idea.
That sounds good. And you're not doing it in the bar?
No. No.
Sure?
No, definitely not doing it in the bar. It's in its demijohn.
I want to announce a curry buffet and a jazz evening. This is from the fabulous Paul Babra, who I'm sure you know. I'm going to read you out the website and a phone number, so get your little pen and your quill ready. Dip it in some ink. It's a curry buffet and jazz evening. It's £25 per person. Bring your own drinks. This is my kind of dinner, because I can take my Riverford Organic, of course, which doesn't give me a hangover. St Dunstan Church Hall. It's 80 London Road in Canterbury. The Sat Nav is Charlie Tango 2, 8 L for Lion, S for Sugar. And the phone number is 075 680 640 73, and this is in conjunction with the fabulous Binny from Bleen Londis, who's my other one weakness. He's lovely. And Moat Tea Rooms. You can tweet Paul at Paul Babra, B-A-B-R-A, and there's a www.paulbabra.co.uk. But it's Valentine's, 14th of Feb. Curry buffet and jazz evening, £25 per person. I fancy going to that. Anybody else got anything going on?
Yeah, well, if you don't mind,
Dan.
Jules, just while we're on the subject of
yes.
kind of, you know, teaching, education, those sorts of things. At the Cookery School, we've recently launched our Kent Chefs Academy. And the idea is that we're going to take on anyone from the age of 16 plus, and they're going to be with us for about a year and a half, and running on an apprenticeship scheme, and we'll teach them how to become a you know, professional chef. So we're offering an MVQ level 2 in professional cookery, and that's open to anyone over the age of 16. So
what a great idea, because I recently was at Kent Young Chefs and I really enjoyed it with Richard Phillips, and I think that's a great idea. Get the kids involved, and maybe I could come along with my camera and my mic for one of those.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. But yeah, as I say, so it's a new scheme that we're signing up. So for those that maybe don't want to go to college, you know, they maybe want to go out and, you know, they want to earn and learn at the same time, then we're offering them that opportunity.
Have a look at www.kentcookeryschool.co.uk for that, and to find out all that's going on. They've got some amazing things going on in March. There's dinner with River Cottage. And Best of British in April, and May tapas as well.
We've also got a River Cottage cookery course as well in March.
This has been the most amazing sort of party today. I've really enjoyed it, and I'd like to say a big thank you to all of you for listening in and for tweeting. Coming up next, it's Paul Andrews on the Business Bunker at 1 p.m. with the lovely Jules Serkin as his co-presenter. He's got some great guests.
Will she be sober? We are.
Yes. No, she won't. He's also got Barrister Broker on. A big thanks from Dan Kennedy for coming on from Kent Cookery School, from Mike Best, from We Set UK. Do I say We Set
it's,
UK?
WSET, yeah.
Yeah, I say it the lazy way. Mr. Harry Covert and his secret dining. And, of course, who haven't I mentioned? Barrister Broker, did I say?
You mentioned me. Yeah.
Dan Kelly from Kent Cookery School. You, as always, and thanks to our sponsors, Godmersham Game and the Pampa Chef, the lovely Jo, and you'll hear more from her. For now, from us, goodbye. Channel Radio.
channelradio.co.uk.
Well, get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans.
Another great Jules Serkin Scoff and Quaff show on Channel Radio. No alpacas were consumed during this production.
And I roll my breakfast because I'm a hungry man. I say shake, rattle and roll.
On Channel Radio.
Channelradio.co.uk.